And we're back here, and we're back here with Representative Roger Victory. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Jute. It's always a good morning when we get to come to talk to you and your good listeners
right,
out there.
Right. All right. What are we going to talk about this morning?
Well, a couple items we're facing at the state here. I'm going to bring forward to this new year no-fault insurance reform.
Yes.
This is an important issue. I'm going to be continuing to speak up on this issue, and we need some reform. It's really affecting our senior citizens out there. It's hitting their pocketbook. And, you know, they don't drive that many miles, but the impact on that per mile basis really gets into the pocketbook of our senior citizens. So I know leadership feels this needs to be done. We've been talking about it for quite some time, and it's time to quit stopping about and get it moved forward. So that's one of the issues there. Put a check mark by road funding, comprehensive road funding issue. That needs to be continue on the forefront. The governor did not speak too much about it on the state of state address, but we need to keep that in the forefront, continue to look for the solutions for that. We do have some opportunity currently with the budget surplus to address some of those needs. And so we need to keep that there. And also one final issue, too. It's very important here in West Michigan regarding the employers, talent issues. What's holding back some of our manufacturers and our business owners here in the state in West Michigan is finding that talent to meet those jobs that they have waiting to be and to move their companies forward.
Okay, got a call. Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Oh, I'm sorry. I want to talk to the town.
This is talking to town.
Okay. Well, not to the speaker.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, how far are we going along with this insurance thing? Are we going to do it this year?
I'm going to be continue to push forward.
Uh-huh.
This is something I was working on last year. These are some issues that need to be addressed. There's been some roadblocks put in place, but there's this dealing with a cap. There's some good work been brought forward, some reasonable levels to have insurance for, ensuring those who had these catastrophic issues be met. There's something dealing who's going to be liable, what set of books these liabilities can set on. It's going to be on the insurance companies, or it's going to fall onto the state. If we can navigate through these issues, we can move this forward.
Have we thought about tort reform as a part of this package?
That needs to be, and that's why some of these issues take some time to get a proper bill passed through with substantial savings to those auto owners out there. We need to take on tort reform, modifying that process there, along with making sure that when we have some savings to pass along, it's real savings and not just window dressing it.
Yeah.
So, because you get one shot at this at times, and then you really don't want to go back to the well and readdress it again if it's not done right.
Yeah, very true. Mm-hmm. All right. 395-1450 is the number if you'd like to call and talk to Roger this morning. You can do so, and our line is open for you. All right. I think you took care of the wolves pretty much.
We had a successful hunt, and this will be interesting. There are those who want to put a ballot initiative out there. And now that there has been a hunt, I'm sure there's probably some photos that might have been taken or are going to go that angle. But I just want to inform the listeners out there how important it is to have a wolf hunt, because it's actually good a benefit for the wolf.
Yeah.
Because we need to instill that fear of the human in the wolf population. And if there's not a fear of the human, then they become predators on our livestock, they become predators on our pets, and predators upon the human themselves, small children. So, it's a part of the ecosystem. We got to maintain that population and that proper level. And I applaud the Department of Natural Resources administrating a very successful wolf hunt. I'm sure we'll be getting some more information. I serve on a Natural Resources Committee, and we'll be looking forward to hearing the ramifications of the wolf hunt and if there's any areas that can be improved upon it, and looking for that work, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, the deer take this year was a little down, wasn't it?
That is true, and I'm fearful that the deer herd is going to be suffering again. Last year we had a tough winter in the northern part of the district. The winter took a long time for setting in. It was basically about this time of the year that winter set in, but it went through March, and it had a long lag time to it, and the deer herd and the populations hurt. And we're going to be experiencing that this year, too. So our numbers are going to be down, and that's going to have the impact on those numbers for a successful hunt going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we'll have to keep an eye on, too, as we manage the deer herd going forward.
Got a lot of natural resources there that we've got to
exactly. And it's an eye on. And it's a very important part of our economy, the state of Michigan. That's a the state of Michigan. We have the manufacturing base, we have the agricultural base, which I was pleasant to hear the governor speak so loud and promote that. And we're almost pushing the $100 billion economic activity level for agriculture in the state of Michigan.
Really?
Exactly. That's a huge.
That's right up your alley.
That's right up the alley. Yeah. And I'm in fact. I couldn't help but stand on the House floor, and I look back, there's three, four of the other fellow farmers who are representatives also on the House floor, and the governor says, I see there's a few farmers standing on this issue here, and I had a good smile on my face. And then, but then also finally on this, the three economic engines of the state of Michigan, we also have the tourist industry, which we would put into where the hunting and fishing and all those things come into play. And actually in the state address, the governor did highlight the importance of the reforms we did, making it easier to attain a license for the fishing and the hunting. And he kind of even put a little bit of a joke in there. It took a little long for us to catch on, but it was a little bit of humor in the state address, how we simplified the hunting and fishing license program. Because he just said, now it's much easier to just go out there to get something, catch something and shoot something. And somebody said, but we got it. It's a form of a joke. So
maybe catch some carp out there.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's another issue we got to face in the state of Michigan, too, is that Asian carp issue and the invasive species. And one good plus about this cold winter we're having is we're going to set it back to normal. These invasive species have been coming into the state, and because of our warm winters, they've been able to get a foothold. So hopefully, I know there's got to be some upside to this cold winter, and that's one of the upsides, is control these invasive species that are coming in and infecting our state and putting an economic impact on it, too.
And we have a call here.
Good.
Yes, you're online with our guest.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, I have a question. I don't know if it can answer regarding the new hunting license structure.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at that, and I happened to notice that the fees have went up for everybody.
Yep.
And then they give us a long list of what they want to do with the money. So I have two questions. The first question is, with the additional income, what has been put in place to make sure that that money does go actually to the hunting and fishing areas instead of being robbed for whatever? And the other question I have, I happen to notice that the deer hunting license for non-residents went from $138 down to $20. Somehow that doesn't sit well with me, that we're charging the people coming from out of state into the state of Michigan to shoot our deer, unless they're trying to get more revenue for gas stations and the restaurants and things like that. So those are my two questions. How are they going to regulate the spending of the additional fees, and why does the non-resident pay less?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I appreciate your call, and I appreciate you participating in our hunting season in the state of Michigan, and enjoying.
Thank you for your good work also.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Bye.
So the caller had two questions there, and so the money generated from these license and fees go back into the Department of Natural Resources to help promote and also foster the resources for the deer and other natural resources of the state of Michigan. And so that's where that money goes back into that to make sure we maintain that resource. A second component of this restructuring was to do a promotional or educational piece. And this was based on an issue in Colorado. Colorado was losing a lot of their hunting rights. They actually lost the spring bear hunt. And being a western state, there was that influence from the city of Denver in putting some restrictions on it. So they developed a promotional education piece to the non-hunters realize and to bring to them the importance of managing the natural resources and the wildlife and the attributes and how this is proper and how we need to preserve these hunting seasons, because if we don't, what the impact would be. So this is something that the state of Michigan is going to be setting up, emulating the Colorado model, so that way we can grow the sport, make sure we introduce the sport and the importance to our new generations, because we're not having as many hunters come forward as we did in the past, because there's a lot of other opportunities for our young people to be engaged in. The video games, just take that. We need to get them away from the video games and getting out and seeing nature and being involved in nature and all the attributes of that. So that's the purpose of this, and it was based on the Colorado model, which has shown success, and now they actually have got their spring bear hunt back, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's important not to just communicate to the sportsmen ourselves. We can't just preach the choir, per se. We need to reach out to those that are not informed and make sure they realize the importance of these natural resources we have in the state of Michigan. And so that's the purpose of it, and that's where we're going to be moving forward on.
But I guess if I were a deer hunter, I'd balk a little bit at the increased fee
that,
for me.
Sure, that's right. That's right. That's something that has to be taken into account. And as we move, as we modified the license fee, there is some impact, and we're still listening to those. In fact, I was talking to a gentleman this past Saturday, had some concern as specifically a landowner and
yeah.
how much it's going to cost him to increase the fee. He says, I feed that deer, I maintain that deer, I pay property tax on that area of that deer. And he says, I'm a little upset about it. I said, I think I can understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed.
Yep.
All right, time out for this word. We'll be right back with Representative.
Funeral Home can promise your family, hometown, heartfelt service that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. It's a promise we've kept for over 100 years.
Representative Roger Victory, our guest this morning, and our line's open if you'd like to talk to him, and we'd be happy to take your call. Okay. What else do you have on your list there, Roger?
Well, another thing is, last time I was on the air here, we had a lot of calls in about the Senate Bill 636. That was the landline bill issue. And
oh, yeah.
I was pleased. I know I appreciate all the calls we received in on that subject matter. And at this point, it's been a little bit pushed back, and it's waiting to hear how it's going to be addressed. I brought forth some serious concerns. In fact, I was talking to a constituent this past Saturday, too, that has a pacemaker. And a lot of people don't realize it, but there are people with pacemakers that use the landline to have that pacemaker monitored. So they can that way they don't have to report into the doctor's office as often. And there's a couple other areas that the reliance on a landline. So how do we address that issue as we move forward when these landlines are becoming less and less? People are more using the wireless method.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an interesting part of this job. Some things look fairly simple up front, but when you get into the details and how it's impacting people, and the Senate Bill 636 has a lot of reach to it and has impact upon many different people, and that's what's just one specific caveat is the people who have pacemakers, and some of them utilize the landline to have it monitored, and that way the doctor can get some readings on that process and see how the patient or their patient is doing. So so that's at a kind of a hold at this point in time, and we'll see where that moves forward. We also Detroit, that continues to be an issue. Bankruptcy process moves along, and Detroit goes, good part of the state of Michigan goes, and we got to keep an eye on there and also make sure we protect the interests of the taxpayers of the state of Michigan as that process. So we're going to keep an eye on that going forward. And there's also education funding. That's always a hot topic, and we got to make sure we stabilize that funding. But as the governor highlighted, too, he's looking at early childhood development. They put a $63 million investment into it last year, and that's probably one of the highest returns on investment dollars in the educational community, and is intending to do additional $63 million, and that will allow a number of these young people, these early childhood slots be filled, because there's mm-hmm. many people want to be participating, their parents want to get in the program, and but the funding wasn't for those slots, so the state has addressed that, and we're gonna move that forward, which will be and in the long run, that's probably the best dollars that can be invested in the education communities in those early childhood programs.
We had a successful auto show down, or having a successful
auto show. Well, when you speak
show.
That, I had the opportunity to be there Saturday.
Really?
Yes, and what an exciting product line out there. I was looking at that Ford pickup
F-150?
Truck. Yeah, F-150. They're using the aluminum construction model on
pretty.
There.
That's unique.
It's amazing. They had a cutout of that there, and you could see the door panels and stuff like that. And when I was thinking about that, I know there's going to be a little more upcharge on that because aluminum is higher cost is higher than steel, but they're going to have savings in fuel economy. I was wondering, should we be incorporating that same mindset in our road construction? If Ford's taking on this issue, they're going to put a little more. It's going to be a little more costly for that truck, but you're going to have more fuel savings and more fuel efficiency. It's going to be lighter, and especially on our Michigan driving conditions. I know my pickup truck right now that I could almost I have a coating of salt all over, and I can almost see the rust starting to develop in some of those body lines there. So I was thinking there's probably a model that we could probably, when we talk about the road funding comprehensive model, could we incorporate that philosophy a little bit more up front, but longer, better returns down the road?
It's always hard to get those early bucks in there.
Exactly. Yep, and that's where Ford's going to place, you know, have that situation. They can't outprice the customer.
Right.
Even though it might last a lot much longer, they have to be competitive with the other models. So it'll be interesting how that play out, and could we use that same philosophy in some forms of government at times? And as a business owner myself, I always look at times there's some certain business models that are probably very palatable and practical for what we should employ in the government.
Yeah. Yes.
So, indeed. But no, it's an exciting show, good crowd. Glad to see the auto manufacturers coming back strong and excitement for the new models.
Yes, and they're going to create some more jobs too.
Exactly. Well, also excited to see the fuel economy these cars are getting. There's certain miles that are getting 40 miles per miles per gallon on it, and these are just conventional miles. And then of course, if you put the hybrid model components in there, they get up much higher than that.
Right.
It's just amazing how the auto industry is addressing these higher fuel costs, which then translate into our transportation funding model, because we base that road funding on fuel consumption, and fuel consumption continues to continues to improve on the car, so we're getting more miles per gallon, and that means less funding per mile on the road. So that's a dilemma we face at the state level and even on the federal level, and that's why we say there's got to be a comprehensive funding model going in the future to sustain the investment we have in the roads.
I suppose it also ensures the higher price of gas will continue.
That's true, too. It never get away of I just never could quite put the finger on that gasoline prices. Even coming back from the auto show, it was like a 15-cent price differential between the two stations I was going to fill up at. So I looked across the road and I said, I'm going to drive across there to get the gas. But that always seems to be a real puzzler how that is priced and how that market is determined.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right. How soon are we getting underway, Aaron Lansing?
Tomorrow morning we'll be starting. I'll have committee for natural resources. That's going to be exciting to kick the year off, and I'm looking for some reports on how the wolf hunt has been handled. And then we have agricultural committee coming forward, family, children, and seniors, and financial liability, and a number of different things of those issues we'll be taking up in those committees and doing a good work on behalf of the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. 395-1450, and I guess nobody wants to talk to you this morning, Roger.
Probably a little quiet out there. Probably a little cold this morning. It's a chill, and people are getting this. Probably had an opportunity to clean their sidewalks off, get that little drifted snow. It blew a little bit out there yesterday.
If they think it's cold now.
Well, yes. That's why they're getting the work done this morning.
Tomorrow
they
morning.
Know, yeah. Or getting some of the early morning grocery shopping done, because get that all prepped before the bitter cold returns. And but I'm looking forward this evening, too, to be participating in the March for Right to Life there in Holland. So I hope the listeners can, even though it might be a little cold out there, come out and join us tonight.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a short march to the church.
Mm-hmm, so.
Got another call. Yes, you're on the line with Roger.
Yes, I had read an article that some of the fracking companies, all companies that do fracking, I'm sorry, are even leasing land on college campuses and everywhere. I wonder what his take is on the process of fracking soil. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You know, the fracking process has been going on for a number of years. What's happening now, we've been utilizing the vertical fracking process for a decade or so, but now we're moving into the horizontal fracking. We're going to need this energy for our manufacturers, for our economy, competitive, so that the energy needs are there. But we also have to make sure that we're abiding by safe practices and make sure where they're accountable and protecting our water sources. Because realize, too, that one of our greatest resources we have in Michigan is the water, the Great Lakes.
Right.
And so we have to be very cautious of that. We can... My philosophy is we can use fracking under safe conditions where the conditions allow it, and have the energy available to grow our economy, but also making sure that there, if there's areas that's if not suitable for it, then make sure it's utilized where it's been determined safe, and go forward with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember going through Oklahoma when I think I was in the service at the mm-hmm. time, and the train ride through Oklahoma, and I noticed, I think it was in Oklahoma City, they had oil wells right on the city square, practically.
Exactly, yep. And if in California, some municipalities have those oil
yeah.
structures right in the middle of the city, and that's to schools, and even some schools, they prosper from that because they garner the royalty check from that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You say, why are they doing that there?
Yep.
That's where the oil
was. But we have to, you know, we have to use sound science. We have to make sure it's safe, and ultimately, we've got to protect our greatest resource is the water.
Yeah.
But it has proven itself in the past. It can be done safely, and make sure it is utilized in those areas that have been determined safe.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 395-1450 is our number if you'd like to talk to our guests here this morning. And we'll take a moment here and tell you that, we were going to tell you something here. Oh, yes, about our friends Wiley's Cleaning. This is just about spring. If you're thinking about spring and cleaning up the house, book ahead for spring cleaning with Wiley's Cleaning Service for expert cleaning of your rugs, carpets, blinds, and upholstery. Just call Wiley's Cleaning Service at 396-8435. That's 396-8435. Wiley's Cleaning Service. Yes, get started early. All right, still have a couple minutes left here, mm-hmm. Roger. So we're going into full session now. And
that's right, yep.
We're really rolling.
We're rolling, and I know a lot of the discussion is going to be on the surplus, this billion-dollar
yes.
surplus we have at the state level. Where is that money going to be spent? There again, I continue to highlight, we need to continue to address the conditions of roads. There will be opportunity for some tax relief. And also, as a business owner, when you have opportunity to pay your debt down, clean up your balance sheet. As you look at and when the Great Recession hit a few years ago, what companies survived the Great Recession? Those who had their balance sheet was in order, and those who had minimum amount of debt. So,
yes.
And that's investment for our children and grandchildren going in the future if we can get that debt paid down.
You're online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning. You were just talking about fracking and that, but I read in a paper here a while back where this pipeline goes all the way across Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there for 50 years. Do they monitor that thing pretty close? Because if that that thing would break, it'd be a massive.
But yeah, the caller has a good point. The monitoring of the pipelines, that is, that's monitored by the Interstate Commerce Commission for transportation needs. In fact, I know and on one of our farms, we have a major transmission pipeline. It's a 42-inch pipe, and they monitor that very closely, and there's even periodically they will run a pig that has a camera system, and they detect any wear and tear on the pipe, and these are all part of regulatory controls placed on these pipelines
mm-hmm.
to prevent incidents. Because when there is a failure, which we had in the state of Michigan not too long ago, it's catastrophic, and it can, in behalf of the carriers too, because when they do have a failure, the financial impact can ruin the company.
It sure can.
Yeah. So it's in their best interest financially to make sure they don't have an incident, because if they do, the cost of the cleanup will most likely be detrimental to that company.
Okay. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Okay.
Roger, we're out of time. I thank you very much mm-hmm. for being our guest here this morning on our Talk of the Town program.
As always, it's a pleasure.
And we'll be seeing you again next month.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.